I wrote on the board, "Whoso loveth instruction." I was thinking about the scriptures in Matthew where it talks about, this is in Matthew 11, where it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." And we studied just a little last week about the word learn. And part of that definition is to gain knowledge of, to acquire knowledge or ideas of something before unknown. You know, the Lord is wanting to teach us things that we don't know. And He's wanting us to fall in love with His instructions and with His way of instructing us. I was thinking about the scripture there. It says, if you'll learn of me, I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And I've just been meditating a little bit about that rest. The song says, I want to read a little of that in Psalm number 170. It says here, "Long in sin I sought for something, for pleasure, something that would satisfy, something that would quench the thirsting of my soul. But I found that sin's dominion not I needed could supply. Then I turned to Jesus and He made me whole." You know what the Lord is wanting to teach us this morning? He said, if you'll come to me, you'll find rest unto your souls. You know, this morning the Lord wants to give us rest. How many of us could say that a long time we looked in sin and sought and looked for something that would satisfy, something that would quench the thirsting of our soul? Because, you know, God put something down in here that wants to be satisfied. And men and women try to satisfy that with every kind of thing imaginable. From jobs to drugs and everything in between, men and women try to satisfy that need. You know, this morning, God put that need in there. He built us. He made us meticulously, just like we need to be. And He said, if you'll take my yoke on you, I'll satisfy that place in you. He says, you'll find rest unto your souls. You know, the Lord wants to teach us, and He wants us to understand that in the end, what He really wants us to learn is, He wants us to learn to rest. He wants us to be able to just quit all of our searching and all of our doing and all of our works and the things that we would do on our own, and finally find a place where, thank the Lord, the Lord has given me rest. I don't have to seek it anymore. You know, this morning, that's not just for sinners. That's for all of us. We can spend our life searching and looking for the answers in our life when the Lord wants to lead us to a place. And He said, I want you to learn of me. I want to bring you to a place where you can quit all that struggling. I want to bring you to a place where you can rest. I want to bring you to that place. That's what God is trying to do. So when He teaches us, and when He gives His word, and when He works with us, and when He chastises us, you know what His end is in mind? You know what He's trying to do? I want to give you rest. I want to satisfy that thing in here that only I can satisfy. That's what the Lord wants to do this morning. He wants to satisfy that place. Yes, my search for satisfaction while in sin was all in vain, because God made us, and sin can't satisfy that. And all that we can put into our life, all the job, all the work, all the money, all the pleasures, all the search for fame, it cannot satisfy what God put in there to be satisfied. But a little touch from the Lord, it'll satisfy. It'll set us at peace and at ease. We don't have to search anymore. for those things that satisfy. I want to look at Isaiah 55 and 2. It says here, and we're so familiar with these scriptures here, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me." Now here the Lord's just saying it in a little different way. He said it as we read it a minute ago about, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Now he's saying, why do you spend all your money for that which is not bread? The things that don't satisfy the inner man. Inner man has to be satisfied with spiritual bread. And Jesus said he was that bread. He was the bread of life. And it says, "And your labor for that which satisfieth not." You spend your whole life and yet never find that thing in here that satisfies. "Hearken diligently unto me and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Do we believe this morning? Do we believe that God plans, wants, desires, and made a way for us to be satisfied with fatness in our soul? More than enough. That's what that's talking about. More than enough. Plenty for us. I believe the Lord gave that to us this morning. Verse 1 there says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat." He that hath no money, come and buy and eat. What are we buying it with? "Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." That's what the Lord came to bring to us this morning. The Lord paid the price, didn't he, when he died on the cross. You and I don't need to wrestle all our life trying to find the answers to life. The Lord wants to give us rest. And he said if we'll come to him, and if we'll learn of him, and we'll learn what he has to say, he'll give us rest in here, where we really need it most. And I thank the Lord for that. Seeking everywhere for rest and finding none. The Lord wants to give us some things this morning. So that was just what I felt like the Lord gave me to start with. But that's not really all the direction we're going, because the Lord wants to teach us and he wants to instruct us. And you know, many times we misplace in our mind and heart how he's dealing with us. And we see the Lord's hand at work and we don't recognize it. And we just think it's awful. We just think, why is this happening? Why is that happening? I want to tell you something. The Lord wants to put us at rest. And he wants to give us the needs of our soul in fatness, in more than enough and more than plenty. In Proverbs 12 and 1, this scripture has a lot more in it than it seems at the start. It says here, "Whoso loveth instruction..." Now remember, the Lord's wanting to give us instruction. Why is he wanting to give us instruction? To fulfill all the needs of our life. That's why. He wants to teach us how to be a good employee. He wants to teach us how to be a good owner of a company. He wants to teach us how to be a good husband, a good father, a good wife. Wherever we are at in life, the Lord wants to teach us how. And he wants to give us those things. And so it says here, "Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." This word instruction, it's just translated as instruction into the English. But really that Hebrew word was very way deeper than that. If you look at the definition, the Strong's definition of it, it says properly chastisement, figuratively reproof, warning or instruction, also restraint, bond, chastening, chasteneth, chastisement, check, correction, discipline, doctrine, instruction, and rebuke. It includes instruction. But you know what we're being told here? that the one that loves God's way of instruction loves knowledge. You know, this morning, God deals with us as with sons. He knows we need help. And a lot of times, we're like this last word here says, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. You know what that's talking about? It's talking about like an animal. You put the goads in them and they go. And you force them with a bit or whatever to turn and they turn. Brutish, like a beast, like an animal. He said, he that hateth reproof is like that. You know what the Lord wants us to fall in love with? Reproof. He wants us to fall in love with admonition. He wants us to fall in love with correction and instruction. The Lord wants us to fall in love with those things. It's the answers to life. The things that we long for. Sometimes in our brutishness. Sometimes in our animal likeness. We don't listen. And so the goads have to be put in a little bit. And we have to be kind of forced in the right direction. We want to go in the right direction, but we don't go sometimes, do we? And the Lord has to force us a little bit. He won't make us go if we don't want to go, but He'll put some goads in us. And He says here, if we hate reproof, we're just like an animal. As soon as the goad is gone, then we go back to our old way. We go back to the way we were. Soon as the pressure is off, it's done. You know what the Lord wants us to do? He wants us to love instruction. And then we won't have to be forced by circumstances, by things. The Lord wants us to fall in love with reproof from the Lord and from all the ways the Lord gives it. He gives it in 1,000 ways, I believe. It's all through life. It's in the things that happen to us. It's in the people that we deal with. It's in that hard person that we always have to deal with on the job. Why do they have to be like that? Maybe God put them there. Maybe that's our goad. Maybe that's something we need. Do we pray, Lord, please take care of this? Oh, yes, we do. But I'll tell you what I want to pray more than anything. Lord, I want to hear you. I want to hear what you have to say in this. I want this to correct me. I want to be the kind of person you want me to be. And so if we fall in love with instruction and we're not brutish or like an animal and have to be corrected like that, you know, I believe that the Lord has so much for us. That definition, I've wrestled whether to read it, of brutishness. But it says, it starts with properly food as consumed. That is, by extension of cattle, brutishness. Concretely, stupid, brutish person or foolish. And if you read Clark's on that, he says about the instruction, he says, whoso loveth instruction, discipline or correction, loves knowledge. For correction is the way to knowledge. And about brutishness, he says, he that hateth reproof is brutish. He is a bear and expects no more benefit from correction than the ox does from the goad. You know, we ourselves have to change our mind. And the Lord has to help us change our heart. Lord, I want to love instruction. I want to hear every word you have to say. I want to hear what I need to hear. And I don't want any resistance to it. I know this is a little bit like what we had last week, but it just is continuing on. You know, this morning, the Lord wants to take us to a place where in our heart and life there is rest in the Lord. There's a place where the Lord can bless our lives. And He wants to do that. But we have to take upon us Lord, I love your ways. You deal with me any way you want to. And help me to hear. And help me to understand. I want to fall in love with it. I want to hear all of it. I don't want to hear part of it. I want to hear it all. Give me a heart and a mind to hear instruction, reproof, correction, all of those things. Give me, Lord, help me not to be brutish. Help me not to be like an animal that has to be forced here and forced there. The Lord won't really do too much of that. I thought about the scripture in Job 5 and 17 that says, Job 5 and 17 says, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." And I want us to think a little bit this morning about the chastening of the Lord. And the way sometimes He chastens us, sometimes He tells us through many things, you need to wake up. You're wrong. You're going the wrong way here. You know, we can take offense at God. We can take offense at His reproofs. Or we can take instruction. And it's really up to us to do that. God won't do it for us. He won't force it on us. We have to say, Lord, I want to know. I want to hear your voice. I want instruction in my life. And what's he trying to do? Is he trying to be mean to us? I had a dad that chastened me betimes when I needed it. And I'm thankful I did. I'm very thankful. But you know, we can become bitter at the chastening of the Lord. Or we can allow it to work its work in us. In Proverbs 6 and 23, I'm just going to read a number of scriptures here. Proverbs 6, verse 23. It says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." That is the same word we read earlier about correction and discipline and all of those things. You know, it says reproofs of instruction are the way of life. It is the way that brings us to life. It is the thing that teaches us the good way, so we don't make the same mistake again. We've got animals some. And I will tell you, you can whip them into submission or whatever, which I don't hardly ever do anything to my animals. But I will tell you, you can force them to go a certain way and every day. And the day you don't, a lot of times they won't go that way. They'll just do what they want to every time. It's brutish. It's an animal-like way. But it says here that the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. It shows us where we need to walk, doesn't it? It's valuable to us. I would hate for this room to be all dark and all of us trying to get around in here. We might be bumping into each other. We'd be hitting benches, everything. But the commandment, it's a lamp. It's a light to us. It lights the place up. It helps us not to bump into things that we would otherwise. It helps us not to fall in a ditch that we would otherwise. And so sometimes we fall in a ditch because we didn't allow the commandment in our life to work like it wanted to. Oh, the Lord wants to send His Word. He does send His Word. He will send His Word. He will work with us all He can. But you know, it's up to us to love instruction. And to the child that doesn't, some children love instruction more than others. To the child that doesn't love instruction but rebels against all those things, I feel so sorry when I see that. I feel so sorry for them because I know. I've seen it enough times. I know that just around the corner is disappointment upon disappointment to that child. But to the one that listens to instruction and heeds the warnings and tries to do what's right and follows and loves those things that instruct them, I will tell you, I see blessing upon blessing upon their heart and upon their inner man. And I believe on their life. The Lord does that. He loves to bless people. In Proverbs 10 and 17, another scripture, it says here, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. The same Hebrew word that we had before. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof. What's it say? He erreth. He makes a mistake. He isn't able to walk in the ways of life. He that refuseth reproof erreth. You know, this is something we have to put it in our life, saints. All of us, we have to put it in our life. This isn't just for unsaved people or people that don't know anything about God hardly. It's for us to love instruction and love reproof. Lord, deal with me any old way you need to. I don't want to find out 20 years down the road that I made some major mistakes that are going to cost me dearly. And many times we do, don't we? We find out too late because we don't have a heart to love instruction and to love the way of reproof and life in the Lord. Allow the Lord to reprove us. Fall in love with that. I want to read Hebrews. Most of us are very familiar with this. Hebrews 12, starting at verse 5. Listen to what the scripture tells us about reproof. It says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Do you know the Lord speaks unto us like we speak unto children? We speak unto children and we tell them, you know, I have to correct you sometimes. I love you too much not to. If we don't correct our children, we don't love them enough, I will tell you, or in the right way, I'll say. You know, the Lord wants us to correct them. And it says here, that's the way God does. He says, which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. This word chastening here, it means tutorage, to train up, or that is education or training. By implication, disciplinary correction, chastening, chastisement, instruction, nurture. It's the whole thing. It's all of it. And right now, it's speaking directly to the chastisement aspect of it. You know, sometimes we don't like chastisement, do we? We don't like that kind of correction, but it's what we need many times. And the Lord will send it. If we'll hear it, if we'll be in love with instruction, He'll send exactly what we need to take us through. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Now, why does He do that? Because He knows the way we would go is going to get us in trouble. It's going to cost us. Our own way is going to cost us. And His way, so beneficial in every way. So beneficial in every way. And so we see, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, now not everybody endures it, do they? Sometimes people won't endure chastening. They won't hear it. They won't allow it. And so they suffer because they didn't learn what God was trying to tell them. And many times we suffer a lot. I used to hear Brother Stanley say many times, we suffer for who we are. We do, don't we? We suffer for who we are. And yet God wants to speak to us and give us instruction and teach us His ways and show us His paths. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye are be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, all are partakers of chastisement, the Bible says, all of us that are sons, all of us that love one another, there's a little chastisement along the way, isn't there? A little turning, some correction, some reproof, some no, that's wrong. What you said there is wrong. What you did there is wrong. Say, well, I don't think so, Dad. But listen, it's wrong, I'm telling you. And you explain why, don't you? But we have to listen. We're like children, it says. The Lord's speaking to us, and sometimes He wants to say, wait a minute. To Balaam, He said, He kept trying to stop Balaam, didn't He? Finally, there was the donkey in front of him. Or he was riding the donkey, and he kept turning out of the way. And there was the angel with the sword in front of the donkey. Balaam couldn't see it. He couldn't perceive it because his eyes were so shut to what God was doing. He was doing His thing. God told him, you wait. But Balaam got up and went, didn't he? That's the way we are as people. We have to be careful of ourselves. It's not the devil we have to fear most. It's ourself. The devil can't have any power if God's on board. We give him power when we choose his ways. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Not a true son. Not someone where the affections are really there. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. And shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? And here the Lord is trying to correct us. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit. Now, you know, there might be fathers that sometimes gets angry and takes it out on them. That's wrong, isn't it? But He said He does it. He does it only for our profit. He for our profit. That we might be partakers of His holiness, of His rest, of His blessing in life, of His faith, of His strong confidence. The Lord wants strong Christians. He really wants to make all of us strong. I believe that in Him. Because we believe in Him. But we won't have any faith if we go running off and doing our own thing when something comes. We'll have faith as we trust Him. As we yield our lives to Him. As we follow Him, we'll have faith. It comes naturally, I believe. And the Lord wants to increase it. That we might be partakers of His holiness. God loves us that much. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Why is chastening grievous? Children, can you answer that? It hurts. Whatever it is, it hurts. The Scripture likens it a little bit to I believe if you study those Scriptures out, a little bit to the ox and the, you know, there's a little bit of a goad sometimes. Sometimes correction hurts a little bit. But you know, we can lessen that correction to a minimum, if we just fall in love with instruction. If we start saying, Lord, I want to hear Your whisper. You ever had one child say, well, why do I get more punishment than somebody else? Well, if you would just say, what do you want me to do, Dad? Then that would be the case. But sometimes we have to learn, and it takes a lot of teaching. You know, let's don't be like the ox or the one that has to be pushed or whatever. Now, no chastening, it seems, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, listen to this. This is what a true parent does. They don't do anything to hurt a child. They would never do that. But they want so badly for the child to do those things that are right that sometimes there's punishment involved, isn't there? And it says, nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Isn't it a blessing when you see a child start becoming exercised by it? All of a sudden you see them, they got a hold of it. There isn't any resistance anymore. And it brings a blessing, doesn't it? It brings peace to the situation and to the home. That's a blessing, and the Lord wants it to be that way. Wherefore, He says, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. What is this indicating? Maybe somebody's tired. Maybe somebody is just worn out by it. You know what, folks, today? Lift up your hands. And the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. This is what the Lord's all about. This is what He's trying to do. He's trying to heal it. Those things of ourself that would cause us the most trouble. You know what He wants us to do? He wants to turn it around. He wants to heal it. And then He wants us to be able to help other people in that same situation. That's what the Lord wants to do. He wants it to be better than it was to begin with. That now then, we're healed from it, and we can help someone else. And He gives us purpose in life. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. You know, this morning, the Lord wants to bless us. I believe it with all my heart. In Psalms 119, it says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes." That's verse 67, 68. "Teach me your statutes. Thou art good and doest good." And all His dealings are done in love with us. When He's trying to help us. He's trying to correct and bring us to Himself. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." It's good for us to remember that. I want to read one place where is a good illustration, I think, of this kind of thing. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 32, Jeroboam was king of Israel. And it says, "And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places which he had made." This man made gods out of gold. And he made calves, and he bowed down and worshipped them, and had the people bow down and worship them. And God was angry with that. He wasn't good with that. And you read over in the 13th chapter in the 4th verse, a couple of verses here, and it says, "The Lord sent somebody to him, and there was a prophet that came to Jeroboam, and the Lord told him to speak against that altar." And it says, "And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him." His hand was stuck right where he stuck it out. "You lay hold on him." The word of the Lord came to this man. And what was his reaction? "You lay hold on that man. We're going to punish him. He shouldn't be talking like that." That's what this King Jeroboam, that was his reaction to the admonition, to the reproof that God sent to him. You know, if he would have handled that reproof well, I wonder what would have been different about his life. He might have been, the Lord could have changed him completely. And I think about how that David, he sinned against God too, and did something grievously wicked. And the Lord sent the prophet to him, Nathan, and he said to him, And he told him, "Thou art the man, David. You're the man that has sinned and done great evil in the sight of the Lord." You know what David said? He said, "I have sinned against the Lord." That's what he said. "I've sinned. I am the man. I've done wrong." You know, I just want to encourage all of us, saints, I don't care where we're at on the way. The Lord's going to reprove us because He loves us. He's going to talk to us, each one of us, every one of us. I hope He never quits reproving me when I need reproof. When I'm holding my head down a little and I'm feeling sorry for myself or whatever it is, the Lord's going to send along a reproof. And maybe I'll feel like, well, you just don't know what I'm going through. But the Lord says, be strong. The Lord gives us admonitions all along the way. And He wants it to bless us. And you know what? When David said, I have sinned against the Lord, it says, and Nathan said unto David, that's in 2 Samuel 12, the Lord hath also put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. David was a man that loved God. He loved instruction. Even when David got caught up in some terrible wickedness, he wanted to serve God. And when God reproved him, he said, I've sinned. He didn't make any allowance for it. He didn't say, get that man. He didn't hold his hand out. He didn't strike back. He just said, I've sinned. I've done wrong. Saints, this is what we have to live like. When God speaks to us, if we love instruction, Lord, I'm the one that needs it. Lord, I'm the one that needs your talking to today. I'm the one that needs to hear this. And I've tried to do this myself, saints. I want to hear all that God has to say. And I believe if we do, I believe that we will find God saying, you won't die. You're not going to go away for good. I'll forgive you and I'll purge you. And I'll save you again. I'll do what I need to do. God will do that for us. He loves us that much. David said over in Psalms 51, we all are familiar with this one as well. He says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be whiter than snow, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. That was David's response. He wrote this at the time that Nathan the prophet came to him. And it says that David wrote this writing at that time. This was about what we just read about. I have sinned. And David's response, purge me, Lord. Please, I shall be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. If you start back in the second verse or so, first verse, David's attitude was, have mercy upon me, O God. I love to read David's writings. I love to hear his thirst for God. All through, and the Psalms are all good, but all through his writing is a thirst for the Lord. Oh, teach me, Lord. Show me your ways. Teach me your paths. Lead me in the way of life everlasting. Like a shepherd. We read that in the 23rd Psalm, don't we? And we see David's thirst for God. That's what we have to have. It's not hard science. It's really just being humble. A thirst for the things of God. And I will tell you, God will take the weakest one through with victory. And He will give us what we need. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me through thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And I just want to say a few more words about wisdom before we're done. The scripture says in the fourth chapter of Proverbs, third verse, it tells us here, for I was my 13th verse, I'm sorry. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. This word instruction, the same word we read at the beginning, where it talks about reproof, chastisement, instruction, all of those things. The writer here says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. We want life this morning. We want a life that can rest, a life that is full, a life that it doesn't depend totally on all the things around us or what goes on in our life. I will tell you, we can have something here that we don't have to fear the future with. I believe that this morning. Ecclesiastes 7 and 12, in closing, it says, "For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it." Yes. What is wisdom? Is wisdom knowledge? Is wisdom understanding? I believe it's just putting in practice, being able to put in practice those wonderful understandings, that wonderful knowledge that God gives us. Solomon had lots of knowledge, but at the end, he didn't use wisdom, did he? He didn't put in place those things God told him. And so we see his people suffered, and he suffered too. But I just want to encourage us this morning. Wisdom giveth life. Wisdom is understanding God's thoughts. It's understanding his ways. He has all wisdom. And the Lord wants us to be in love with his wisdom. Lord, I want your thoughts more than my thoughts. I want your ways more than my ways. I want to be instructed by you. Just daily, day by day, a thirst for the things of God. And when we do that in our real personal life, I will tell you, God will lead us in paths of pleasantness. I believe that. He will take our life from a life of self and sin and clean us up and teach us his ways and give us that peace inside and that beauty that others can see and desire. And we can take that to other people. And the Lord wants us to. The Lord never planned on us sticking from the place where we got saved, just sticking right there. He planned to use our life. He plans to use our life for his cause and his will and others' good. And he wants to do that. But I will tell you, if we don't fall in love with instruction, we never get to the place where God can really use us like he wants to. So this morning, I just want to encourage us. Fall in love with instruction. Whoso loveth instruction, oh, they love life. They love good things. It's good for us this morning. And the Lord wants to fill our lives with it. Y'all pray for us too. Amen.